The following presentation was recorded live by Voices from Jerusalem.
Number 39 of the 48 ways is Nosei Ba'ol Im Chaviro. Nosei means carry. Ba'ol is the yoke, the burden. Im Chaviro, with his fellow man, with his friend. What does that mean, to share your burden with a fellow man? You got to share and feel his problems. What is burdening him? You have to empathize with another human being. If you want to live, you got to get out of yourself into other human beings. You can't cruise through this world just an obstacle course. Here's a human being. What am I going to do with him? Watch out, manipulate him, push him, score a point, one-upmanship. It's not the way. You have to share the burden. You have to feel him as being a reality unto himself. It makes sense. How do we do it? That's another problem. But it makes sense. It's something that has to be mastered. All right, now, I'd like to focus your attention as to the necessity and the problems involved. And I give you this illustration. Have you ever been depressed, lacking of energy, miserable, and a good friend of yours, an uncle, or even your father, he sees you there, depressed, and he gives you a good, solid slap on the shoulders, and he says, "Cheer up, son, you got everything to live for." You ever hear that? You remember such a thing? Right? Feel like killing him? Right? That's what I'm depressed about. I have everything to live for. It's not going, yeah? But do you realize that he's trying to help? He's counterproductive. He doesn't know what's going on, yeah? And yet he's trying to reach out. He doesn't feel where you are. You get that? He wants to. He's concerned. But he thinks it's a simple solution. You tell somebody, yeah? He doesn't feel you. That's no good. You don't want to go to your son when he's depressed and slap him on the shoulder and say, "Son, a nice kid like you, you got everything to live for." You don't want to do that. Okay, so how do we go about it? How do we go about it? So number one is, first, appreciate how you really look at people. We really look at people as objects. Now, we feel it when we give this illustration, somebody slapping you on the back. When you were treated as an object, you knew it. You feel it, yeah? But we don't realize how we look at other people. Perhaps it's easiest to realize when you think about how you look at old men. Are they real? Are they from Mars? They're not flesh and blood like us, right? They're somewhere in Never Neverland. You going to be an old man? And children, you see, we don't remember. We were there, yeah? They look like little toys, looking around, you know? They have real things, feelings, thoughts, old men, children. But the same thing really goes, all the people that you're dealing with, you say hello, how are you, where you're from, there's a distance. You're not relating to real human beings. And that is got to go. That's the wrong attitude. You know it's the wrong attitude. Yeah. Okay, so number two is that you got to go in for a new way of living. It's sort of a shock, a re-entry. And that is that you've got to focus. There are real human beings out there. They're just as real as you. Which means what? They have aspirations. They have problems. They have feelings. They got confusions. They got moments of ups and moments of down. And they're just as real to them as your feelings, your confusions, your aspirations, your ambitions, your hurts are to you. Same human beings as you. Focus on it. Number three is, the idea is to feel them. Feel them in whatever their activity is. Where is this guy? What's he feeling now? This is strange. This is the first class in a yeshiva. What is he thinking? You were there once. You know what he's thinking. But even if you weren't there once, you can know. Even if you've lived in a yeshiva all your life, you can know how another human being feels the first time he's in a yeshiva. Where he's coming from. Where is he from? America. What is the attitude? What is their prejudices? What is the general feeling? You can feel other human beings. So that's what you got to do. You got to look at people and feel them. Step at a time, playing marbles, learning, studying, thinking, reacting. Feel them. Number four is, be aware of this fact that just like you, They all have burdens. What does burdens mean? They have problems of self-respect, of unaccomplished plans, of failures, of wondering inadequacies, of making decisions, of trying to live. That's a burden, the burden of life, yeah? Of trying to sort things out. They all are there. They have dozens upon dozens of burdens that they are aware of and that they're not aware of, that they're struggling with intentionally. They know I have a problem. I don't know how. I'm shy. I don't know how to make decisions. These are conscious struggles, and there's problems they don't even know, that they just lack a direction. Something wrong. They're full of burdens. Does that make sense? You know you are. They aren't too. Every one of us. Number five is, it's not enough that you know this, but you have to learn to see it. We have the power of perceiving. We have the power of perceiving. A fellow walks in, you can tell whether he is up or he's down, whether he's depressed, whether he's worried, whether he's anxious, whether he is lacking self-confidence, whether he's full of vitality, just by looking at him. You use this when you walk into a party and you want to know who to talk to. It's according to your feelings. You know, if you're feeling energized, you look for a guy who seems stimulating. If you want to just sit around, you know, and look over the place, you walk over to a guy who's a nice schlep, won't be too challenging, and you can relax with your drink and be out. Do you see that? We do this subconsciously. We estimate a fellow, whether it's somebody that you want to talk to, whether you don't want to talk to, even if you're not going to talk to him. Somebody next to you on the plane. We're estimating. We have this power, but you've got to use it consciously. So you look around. If you're here for a couple of days, you know the guys who are here. Get their names. Make them real. Get their names and take a look at them during the day. And that's an assignment. Take a look at them and point out one thing. How is he? Is he confident? Does he enjoy life? Does he have problems? Where is he? He's confused. Is he striving? He's learn to pay attention to people. Then you can feel his burden. But first, you got to pay attention to him. And you've got to develop that. You understand? You've got to develop that. So make a list of the people that you know. The people on the job. Your boss. Your family. And look at them. But start right here. And people here. Look at each one. We're all enveloped in ourselves. Get out of yourself and look. First time, you're way off. You don't know how to zoom in. But with practice, it becomes second nature. When you talk to people, you'll be feeling who you're talking to. And you're not going to slap him on the back because, you know, he's hurting. And cheer up isn't the proper feeling. Yeah. What are you going to do? That's a separate question. But you know what's improper. All right. Number six is take it to heart. Take it to heart. Share the burden means it's not sufficient. You notice it, but you feel with him, which means his problem is your problem. That's what it means to share the burden. If he's depressed, you feel with him. See, in bodies, it's natural. If somebody cuts his finger, everybody jumps up. If somebody here cuts his finger, you know, a big gash. So everybody jumps up, put a tourniquet, get some water. The whole place is there, right? Because the body is hurting, yeah? And if a man's depressed, everybody shuns him. He's hurting. That's a soul is hurting. Leave him alone. Yeah? We don't know what to do with him? Come on. Share the burden. That's you. Identify. His essence is his soul, what he's living for, his awareness, his drive, his self-confidence, his self-respect. That's the power of a human being. And you've got to share it. Share his burdens with him. Number seven is to feel him. How does it feel? That's what you got to do. How does it feel? You know, you got to share his burden, but how do you do that? You just ask yourself, if I was him, how would I feel? I see he's lacking confidence. How does that feel to lack confidence? You know. Even if you were born self-confident, you know how it feels to lack confidence, to feel weak. Even if you were born with a clarity of purpose, you know how it feels to be confused. If I was in a strange environment, If I was a first day in college, even if you weren't, but you were once a first day in college in a new environment, you know how it feels. It's strange. It's you don't know anyone. You don't know how. You know how it feels. All right, here's a new guy. You know how he feels. Feel it with him. Make sense? Number eight is that the point is to carry it with him, share his burden. So it's not only to feel it, but what does it mean? Help him. Now, what does it mean to help him? So in Jewish instructions for living, one of the things that we are, one of our commandments, I mean, it's part of a general commandment to emulate the Almighty, but it is particularly spelled out, Nichum Avelim. You know, if somebody dies, a man sits Shiva, you know the Jewish custom, you sit Shiva, relatives spend 7 days sitting, and people come to visit them. Now, the instructions for living is don't talk to him. Unless he speaks first, you're not allowed to talk. You just go in there, and if he doesn't want to talk, you just sit with him. What does that do? He knows you're there. He knows you feel with him. That makes it lighter. Do you hear that? That makes it lighter. Same thing goes if a person is sick. There's a mitzvah. It's a commandment. It's instructions for living. Go visit him. Now over here, talk to him, right? You don't have to keep quiet, but talk to him. But if you just visited and you spent the time and a human being knows you feel with him, you've lightened his burden. So just noticing and letting people know that you're there with him. He's depressed. I know you feel, you don't think it helps. It helps. It helps. It lightens. There's another thing. You got to know how to help people. Yeah. But this is sharing his burden. You've done something. Number nine is that certainly the Torah teaches us that there's a particular obligation if you yourself have had the same problem. In the Torah it says that you shall love the stranger, the proselyte, and you shall care for the proselyte because you were a stranger in the land of Egypt. That's what it says explicitly in the instructions. That means that whenever we have suffered the same thing that another human being is suffering, we have a particular obligation, even if it's our ancestors, it's an ancestral memory. We have a particular obligation to be sensitive. You've been through it yourself. You remember when you walked into college. You remember when you got an F. You remember when you had a problem with your parents. You remember when you were depressed. You were there. What do you mean you don't feel another human being who's there? B of this is that the rabbis say, particularly in those instances, we are opposed to feeling it. We don't want no part of it. You see, the rich man who doesn't feel a poor man who has to beg, he can feel it. If you thought for a moment the poor and the guy who has to ask for money feel him, how would they feel? He's not an object. He's not a guy who's pushing you. There's something wrong. He's hurting. You ever have a guy, a poor man here in Jerusalem, they grab a hold of your hand? I don't know, maybe you guys don't look too religious, so they're afraid to grab a hold of your hand. But for me, they'll grab a hold of my back, you know, and they'll pull me around. And it can get you very indignant, you know. Like, you know. What are you making a hold up? Yeah. But at the same time, if you just pause for a moment, you know that he's hurting. Yeah? You know that he's a little hysterical. He's a little wild. Yeah. He's overriding his reluctance to do this. Yeah. So you got to feel him. Okay, so that's being a human being. But if God forbid you were ever a beggar, then you certainly should realize this, yeah? And yet it's the beggar who becomes a millionaire who's going to run the other side of the street, the other side of the city, because he doesn't want to see that. It hurts him more than anyone else. He wants to avoid that hurt. So the problems that we've had and we've really suffered with makes us very reluctant, unless we take that emphasis that, look, you want to be a good man, you want to be a human being, you want to be real in life, and override it. and realize that you've had this problem, you've suffered, this guy is suffering the same thing, help him out. Put out your hand, help him out. All right, number 10 is that in Judaism we say the most obligated, the ones that you must do this for, are the people that you love, your friends, the people that you care for. B of this is, the ones that you are most obligated for are your children. And it's the most difficult. To share the burden with your children, to feel their position, you say, well, they should take it for granted that I really care. But you don't really care. You're just interested in pushing them into the right space. Yeah? You say, well, I will. No, you won't. It makes a particularly extra effort to realize they are entities unto themselves. But I love them. I care. I really hurt for them. Yeah. But you're not feeling where they're coming from. You're focusing on hurting because they're not accomplishing, because they're not alive. Am I making sense to you? Do you perceive that? You don't have children yet, yeah? But you'll understand that it's a particularly difficult thing to do with your own children. You'll treat them as objects. You'll treat them, look, they should know. I'm telling them, yeah? Okay, so how do I help them? First, you got to feel them. You don't feel them, you're going to make the mistakes that most parents make with kids. And from that, you can see that you got to do the same for your parents. You got to do the same for everyone. Number 11 is that included in this is humanity. You see, you have to be a human being, which means that when you hear about the poor, the really old who are isolated in the Bronx, you read an article, you've got to feel them. Otherwise, you're not being a human being. You're going titch-titch. When you hear about a person stamped to death, you've got to feel him. Otherwise, you're becoming callous. You see that? You've got to feel that stabbing. You've got to feel being isolated in your home and not being able to move. You've got to feel being on welfare. And what does that mean for your self-respect? Otherwise, you're not real with living. You can talk about it. You can claim to be a good man. You're not there. Yeah. We should relate to the PLO even though they're killing people. You should relate to the murderer, yeah? The murderer, you have to have mercy on the murderer. You can't walk the streets of New York, yeah? At night, you cannot walk the streets. Even a man, you walk into the subway train, 11 o'clock at night, you are in the jungle. You listen to the sounds of footsteps. You look around, adrenaline is full, flowing through the body. You are aware. It's a high adventure. Take the subway, 11 o'clock at night, yeah? In the middle of civilization. But the poor murderers. We got to give them a good break, yeah? You should relate, yeah. You should relate to the victims and to the murderers, right? You should relate, but in juxtaposition. The poor murderers, yeah. But we got to put them out of their misery because human beings have to live in peace. Every human being wants to do the right thing, period. That's the common human denominator. Every human being wants to be happy. Every human being wants to live in reality. Every human being wants to understand. Every human being wants to accomplish. Every human being wants to be good. Is that right? That's the common human denominator. And every one of us makes mistakes. Is that right? Okay, that's the common human denominator. All right, so number 11 was that we gotta look at all human beings. In order to be real, you gotta read the news, you gotta read what's going on, you got to feel what's going on. You have to feel it. You have to feel the victim of society, you have to feel the victim of crime, you have to feel the victim of old age, you have to feel the victim of starvation. Otherwise, you're not dealing in realities. You see that? Number 12 is that in Judaism we say it must end. If you're real, if you believe in God, it must end that you feel, as it were, God's suffering with man's suffering. In Jewish consciousness, there is such a thing as Tikkun Chatzos. Tikkun Chatzos means that on a night, at 11:30 at night, at midnight, that's what is midnight here in Jerusalem, you go down to the Kotel, you'll find Jews sitting there on the ground with ashes on their forehead, and they are mourning with the Almighty. They are mourning with the Almighty, his pain, as it were, with his children's insanity, which is all this suffering. Of course, we say that the Almighty can help us. But just like when you have children, you'll find you can't squeeze them into obedience. You can't dehumanize them. You can't cow them. You'll have to allow them to make their mistakes. That's their good. They got to be independent. The Almighty, as it were, suffers with our insanity. So you have to feel, as it were, his suffering. This is a Jewish concept. You have to share the burden with God. You get that? Feel the Almighty. Created a beautiful world. Look at us. He created all this potential. What a waste. And what can he do? And maybe you'll do something for him. Number 13 is, okay, now that we got this wavelength and what it means to share the burden with your fellow man, now, for living, how do you use it for living? Now, you have parents, you have friends, you'll have a wife, you'll have a boss, you'll have co-workers. Don't argue, fight, retaliate against objects. See, your father says, what's going to become of you, you idiot? What are you wasting your time? You're sleeping all day long. It's time for you to do something with your life. Man, you can't do... Do you see that's an object? This guy is... Whoop! Feeling. What's bothering him? He's worried about me. Feel him. Get into his shoes. What does he see? He's anxious. He thinks that I'm going to waste my life. He feels bad about it. It's not that the neighbors are looking. Come on. You know? What's bothering him? Feel him. Feel your wife. Feel the boss. Feel your employees. Feel your friends. Don't retaliate. Don't escalate the, you know, don't try to out-bombard them with name-calling. Let's see who can yell louder. Come on. Deal with human beings. If I was in his shoes, how would I feel? How would you feel if your son was sleeping until 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the afternoon? Oh, I would be Yeah. The employee, he doesn't do his job. Where is he? He wants a little guidance. Yeah, you know, he wants a little appreciation. Yeah. Identify what they feel and deal with that realization intelligently, with a recognition of the source of it. I'm making sense as you see the importance of this for living. Bruce, make sense? Number 40. Number 14, when you're arguing and you're discussing something with your fellow, with your peers, you're arguing a point. Should we give back to West Bank? Shouldn't we give them back to West Bank? Capital punishment is right. Women's lib. Whatever it is, when you're arguing, don't just stick to your guns. Feel the other guy. What's bothering him? You see, a lot of times we'll give you the evidence that there's a God, you know, and you'll deny it up and down the street. Unless I feel that what you're thinking is, then how come intelligent people don't believe in this if there's evidence, you see, it's a lack, then I'm not going to get the point across because I got to feel where you're stuck. Do you see that? You've got to feel where your friend is stuck. He doesn't want to admit he made a mistake. Relax him. Don't just keep pushing, right? He doesn't like the conclusion because it'll be uncomfortable. Relax him. You know, you got to deal with the point of the argument, the reasons behind the argument, rather than just focusing your logic and going bing, bang, bing, bang. Where is this guy? Where's he coming from? What's he assuming? What's he feeling? What's bothering him? How's he listening? If he's not listening, what are you talking? Stop beating your gums and start, like, where are you, friend? Okay, number 15 is, Nosa Ba'ol includes a step further. That means Ol is not only the burden, we look at it as a burden, but it's the harness. It's whatever people are into, whatever they're doing. It doesn't mean only a guy's problem. If he's doing some hard work, notice. The guy behind the desk in the post office, notice, boy, this is a lot of work. It must be tough for you, right? A guy on a bus, notice. He's under tension. He's, come on, everybody on. Yeah, come, people getting off and off. Notice where people are. Pay attention to where people are all the time. The customer walking into the store, notice him before you say, all right, got to sell it. Yeah? The employee who's sleeping, notice. What's doing? Is he disturbed? Is he dreaming? Why is he dreaming? He doesn't know what to do. Notice, where is he? Make sense? It's a different world. We're touching people. Number 16 is again for living. It's important, especially important with a wife, but it's important for every human being, is all the time see them. When you walk in the morning, when you say, walking in the evening for your wife, take a look, is she tired? Is she upset? Is she? Notice. The same thing goes, your boss. Walk in, take notice. And say, hey, I see you're in a good mood. Your employee, take notice. Pay attention to people that you're constantly exposed to. Walking into your parents' home and just sitting down at the television set or at the food is an insult. You see, it's an insult. But saying, good evening, Dad, how are you? And not paying attention to him is the same thing. It's cutting off relations. It's dealing with automatons. It's like wandering through an empty house, a house full of furniture with parent images around to supply the food and pay the bills and, you know. So when you walk in, you take a look at your mom. How is she? Is she upset? Good evening. How is she responding? Something on her mind? Focus. Ask yourself, where is she? Yeah. By that time, when you get married, you'll learn how to focus. It'll help your marriage an awful lot. Because the worst thing in the world is to walk home. So where's supper? Oh, boy. But you're tired. I just did a day's work. Mm-mm. She just did a day's work, too. You know, focus. Number 17 is that for living, when you're teaching someone, don't just communicate from your end. See whether you're hitting, whether he's hearing, whether he's on, whether he's energized. You can tell. That's the way to communicate. Your students, a class, you can see whether somebody's listening, whether they hear you, whether they are interested, whether they're accepting, whether they're denying, whether they're disturbed, whether they're pleased, whether they're going to use it or not. And that's your way of communicating, of transferring your piece of knowledge. But you have to look. You have to see. You have to feel it. It's a perception. Now, really, it should go the other way around. Now, when you have a teacher who's telling you something, go beyond his words. Try to appreciate. You can sense what it means to him. And that gives another value to the concept, if you can sense. I mean, he's worked at it. He knows it. He understands. You can pick up on his understanding. You feel a new dimension to it. That's the way to learn wisdom. Number 18 is that when you hear wisdom, go beyond the words. Go beyond the words. Empathize with the ideas. Then you take wisdom seriously. If clarity is power, you hear that? Do you understand? If you know your purpose, you know where you're going, then we're a missile. We human beings are a guided missile. If we know where we're going, we're going to get there. If you somehow decide you're going to be a doctor, by hook or by crook, you break through cement, you're going to be a doctor. What do you mean? You can't get into medical school? You're going to be a doctor. We human beings, once we make up our minds, ding, we get there. By hook or by crook. Okay, now, feel that concept, you see. You hear it, feel it. Feel a human being who knows what he wants. Feel a human being who has decided to be a doctor, how he moves. And then you have a new dimension of wisdom. Because wisdom is in human beings. And our empathizing into human beings gives us an empathy and an appreciation of what the wisdom is about. Number 19 is that whenever you accept wisdom, if you decide that a piece of wisdom is valid, piece of wisdom is valid, that we should not treat other human beings as objects if we want to really live. It's not an effective way of going about living. You're in a narcissistic envelope of self-involvement, which is cutting you off from the basic experience of life, which is other human beings. Yeah. Let's say you decide that's valid. Yeah. Then take it a step further and share the burden of people who treat other human beings as objects, who are beating up on their kids because they don't feel what's wrong, what's keeping their kids stuck. Do you realize how much suffering there is for just a little piece of knowledge, a little effectiveness in living? Do you realize here are there millions upon millions, billions of human beings who are fighting it out with their kids and kids who are fighting it out with their parents, and these are the ones who love them most, who are most directly concerned, and all that they're spreading is misery, self-hate, hatred. Isn't that terrible? Just because they don't feel the other guy. Isn't that a terrible thing not to feel the other guy? When you feel the burden of not having a piece of wisdom, you're making wisdom real for yourself. Just one more on the how, and that is, in Jewish consciousness, we say share the burden is to share the joy. Isn't that strange? Share the joy. We say that at a wedding, at a Jewish wedding, you know, everybody partakes in the joy of the bride and groom. That's sharing their burden. You know why? What does that have to do with sharing the burden? So, focus your attention, you see. If you just had a son, I don't know if you fellas feel that's a joy, yeah? But if you felt that it's a joy, you just had a son, you were looking forward to a son. You know what would be very painful to you? Just had a son, and there's nobody to tell. Do you understand that? The girl just said yes, yeah? And there's nobody that you can tell. I mean, you're going to walk down the street, hey, you know what? I'm engaged.
Yeah? Who are you?
We need to share joy as well as to share. Human beings need to share joy. It's a pain not to be able to share joy. It's a pain. We look. Who would take joy in my joy? So at a wedding, in Jewish consciousness, at a wedding, you are there to share the bride and groom's joy, not just to eat. You're there to share, because joy shared is much more. It's much more. It has to be shared. We are human beings. We have to share. Shared joy is tremendous. It's tremendous. It makes it real. It makes it full. Okay, why do we need this? So you have to realize that's number one, that you have to realize there's a whole world if you're really going to live. If you're going to live in this world, that's what the world is about. All these people are real. Share. That's big. That's living. Yeah. You can't live in a crazy world where there's nobody else except me. Yeah. That's crazy. That's not civilized. You're a barbarian. You're a monkey. But number two is that simply to deal with people intelligently, effectively, you have to see where they're coming from. You have to feel them. Otherwise, you're talking this way. You can't get together to deal with your parents intelligently, deal with a boss, deal with a friend, deal with a landlord. You have to see his point. You have to feel his point of view. If you don't feel his point of view, you're not dealing intelligently. Does that make sense? So number three is, if you share the burden with a person who's depressed, you see what causes it and what makes him depressed, you are inoculated against depression for the same reason. Do you see that? So as many burdens as you share with other people, you are really appreciating what life is about. Because you're objective about other people's problems, about how they react. You feel with them, and that gives you a good, solid hold on the proper way of living. Because we're very objective about what another guy should be doing. When you share the burden of your friend who is yelling at his son, that is an inoculation. You're not going to yell at his son, at your son. You see? You say, you think he's upset. He's being counterproductive because he's hurting. Now, how can I tell him, I understand you're upset, friend. It's terrible to have a son who's... But you're objective. And you have a cool appraisal of what the situation is. Number four is that, look, everybody wants to be a good man. You want to help humanity. That's part and parcel of all our career plans and our plans for living. Is somehow we're going to be a lawyer. Certainly if we're a doctor, we're going to help humanity. A lawyer, we're going to help humanity. But even if we have a PhD in economics, an MBA, really we're bettering the quality of life by getting more goods on the marketplace more efficiently. Right? It's part and parcel of every human being striving. He wants, he's got a bit of idealism in it. Right? Well, if you really want to be a good man, then feel another human being. You see? It's not enough not to hurt him. You know, you should share his burden. You see a guy bleeding and you don't move, you don't feel for him,
I don't care how much more goods you got on the market and how many guys you cured, you're a bum. You got that? So if you see a guy depressed and hurt and wondering and lost and confused and you don't feel with him, you're not a good man. You want to be a good man, get the pleasure of sharing his burden. Treat him as a reality. That's the least you can do.
Okay, I thank you.